Lesson number 4, Covenant with Abraham, Designed for Salvation. Abraham is perhaps the most important person used in Scripture as an illustration of how the plan of salvation works. He is used by several authors as the model. Even Jesus Christ called him the Father of Israel. So it is not surprising that the covenant made with Abraham is described in considerable detail, that we might see how this new covenant or Abrahamic everlasting covenant of grace functions in the life of a believing, submissive individual. Abraham has shown his total reliance upon God. He left Ur of the Chaldees and went out into a land knowing not where he went. He wandered without a possessor, as Stephen says, of even a parcel of ground on which he could stand. Only bought a grave lot for his family. And so he emerges as a towering monument to human submission to the divine will, to human faithfulness. And he is the example, better than any other, of what it means to live by faith. Now the Lord promised to make a covenant with Abraham. In fact, he made a covenant several times with Abraham, a contract. We can look at it as covenant in stages, because Abraham really didn't understand to start with. When God promised him a seed, he eventually took the affairs into his own hands, and he and Sarah decided on a stratagem that Hagar would be a surrogate wife, and that Hagar and Abraham's child would be the heir. But this displeased God. And in order to be kind to the little boy, not send him away as a tiny infant, he allowed him to grow into young manhood. And when he could fend for himself, God instructed Abraham to divorce Hagar and send her and her son away, and supply them with all the financial wherewithal that they needed. He thus shows himself a judge of these relationships. But Abraham still didn't learn. When he promised him, as a father of a young son, Ishmael, that he would have a real seed of his own, Abraham agreed to the covenant sign of circumcision. And this sign was a vital link in his submission and acceptance of the divine will. Part number one, Yahweh in the Abrahamic covenant. I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur. The word Lord there is Yahweh. Yahweh is the judge. He's the criterion. He is the one who says, I judged you worthy of bringing you out of Ur of the Chaldees. And I brought you into a land that I chose. And you followed. So wherever we read the title Yahweh, God is showing himself the judge. Study carefully the note in this part and realize that whenever Lord or God, in all capitals, presented in the scriptures, the back of that is the word Yahweh, which indicates the judge. The Lord is telling Abraham, I am judging your qualities and judging the circumstances. I am bringing you out to myself. Part number two. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, that is 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. The Hebrew word for this is El Shaddai. The word Shad comes from a mother's breast. God is El, the Mighty, breasted one? In what sense is he almighty? To an infant, his mother's breast is the beginning and end of his life. There he finds comfort and solace and sustenance. An infant doesn't care that his mother is the first lady of the land. When he's hungry, he wants to nuzzle her breast. When he's afraid, he wants to be enfolded upon it within her arms. To the infant, the mother is the Almighty. It is in this sense that El Shaddai is used in Scripture in the 99 times it appears, in the 39 times, I believe, that it appears. 31 times in the book of Job is a very significant usage of the word El Shaddai. See, Job was at the end of the tether. His children had gone, his health had gone, his property had gone, his relationship to his wife and his friends was rapidly deteriorating. He couldn't bear to put a stitch upon himself. He waited to die. He longed to die. What else did he need? Naked I came into the world. Naked am I now ready to go out of it. And then he thinks of El Shaddai. And 31 times he invokes that revelation of God, his greatest need. And so he turns safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. When God created man, he needed to create a woman so that the two could be in his likeness and image. If I may say so reverently, El Shaddai depicts the femininity of God. In Revelation 1, Jesus Christ is pictured as girt about the paps with a golden girdle. This word paps is the word that describes a mother's breasts, the femininity of deity, where comfort, support, sustenance, almightiness to the baby are provided. Part number 3, covenant, recipient, partner. On the day that Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham, Genesis 15, saying, I will give them this land. So part of the covenant was power to overcome, victory through grace. Part of the covenant was a seed that should enable the name to continue forever. Now part of the covenant is a land in which they shall live. If you are faithful, that's the condition. And Abraham, of course, was faithful among the faithless, uncorrupted by prevailing apostasy. In fact, he gained strength from the depravity and the weaknesses of those whom he saw, and turned with increasing revulsion against that and them to the Lord. Now when Abraham entered into this covenant and believed it, the Lord gave him a new name. Abraham became Abraham. Long ago I read in some ancient divine's comment that the only difference between Abraham and Abraham was a breath. And if you will say the two names slowly, you will discover that you need to breathe heavily into the heart of Abraham to get Abraham. And the suggestion was that this is an allegory of the infusion of the breath of the Holy Spirit. And Abraham now had a new name. Just as the redeemed will be given a new name. And Jesus Christ, as the representative of the redeemed, will have a new name. And the new name comes with the breathing of a new life into the old life. Part number 4, the making of the covenant. Now Yahweh said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee. Abraham had to obey, and when he obeyed, God promised that he would do. So there is a promise made. I will do this, I will make you a great nation. Then in Genesis 15 there was a cutting. Two piles of flesh, as we have seen. One path, bloody, blood signifying life poured out, death. There was a bloody way through this covenant that pointed to a bloody way that led from Golgotha through Calvary to paradise. God, in the pillar of fire and the cloud, the horror of great darkness, passed along this way. And if I may see it somehow, in Gethsemane and on old Skullface, there was a horror of darkness by which God passed through the new and living way. Not only was the sacrifice cut, but in the covenant sign, circumcision, Abraham was cut. And the cutting of Abraham was a sign of impotence, immolation. In the scriptures, a part often stands for a whole. First fruits, tithe, a handful, all these indicate a token gift. Abraham was now telling the Lord, I cannot procreate a child. And the token that was removed by surgery indicated that the whole might as well have been cut off. He could do nothing. In part number 5, we read in Colossians chapter 2, that the circumcision of the Christian is baptism. And baptism is a drowning. It's a sign, too, of death, of impotence, of inability to live. And so what Abraham is telling us here is that the sign of the covenant, the cutting on the part of Abraham, the dying on the part of Abraham, is somehow linked in with the cutting of the sacrifice by which, through blood, a new and living way is discovered. Not only for this life, but for the seed to enable life to continue into the hereafter. Now in part number 5, we must keep the covenant. You shall keep it. Your descendants shall keep it. No one who doesn't cut himself with this sign of circumcision will be provided with the benefits. He will be cut off. So either he cuts himself in circumcision or he is cut off from God's people. And thus he has broken the covenant. Now he can do this only through grace. Abraham couldn't have had a child. He had tried and failed 1,000 times. With Sarah, nothing had happened. But as soon as he entered into this covenant of grace and accepted the divine provision by faith and did exactly what he had done with Sarah many times before, God did what neither he nor Sarah could do. Through the sign of the covenant, he was showing, I can do nothing. Through the activity, through the work of faith, through his relationship with Sarah, he was enabled to conceive seed. And God did what he could not do. And so as God looked at him, he could say, he will keep my covenant through grace. He will teach and command his children to do what is right. Part number 6. Circumcision is the covenant sign. It was cut as the sacrifice was cut. It distinguished the seed of Abraham. It perpetuated the memory of this covenant. It fostered the cultivation of purity. It signaled self-immolation and the exercise of faith. It looked forward, as the New Testament saw, through the circumcision of the heart, and pointed to Christian baptism. And when the candidate in the Christian church, who is still under the same Abrahamic covenant, has to demonstrate his covenant sign, he must say, "I too am dead. And I prove I am dead by allowing myself to be buried." So circumcision and baptism carry through the same thought. We have the same covenant that God made with Abraham. We must obey and live by faith and grace. And we have the sign of the Abrahamic covenant now, no longer circumcision, but baptism. Both signals of the claim that we are dead and ready to be buried.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.